Nishmata Vi Gdalia Ventuvia Uvyotza Tibisbe.
Gdalia Ventuvia. Okay, today's daf is Echishkolim is daf Hey, and we were up to this one line up from the bottom of Dalai Lama. Rabbi Chia, I'm Rabbi Yirmiya Boy. Yesterday we had learned the simple meaning of the Mishnah about the Achim, that are Shutvim, that the relationship to the Tfusat HaBayit and the Shutafut is inverted when it comes to the Kalabon and to Maisa Behema. Because as long as they maintain the status of the original estate, so then it's as if the father was giving a shekel coin for two brothers, be potter from a Kalabon. So the estate being untouched, it continues to be potter from a Kalabon. But because it's untouched, there's no shutafut. There's no shutafut, and there's a chiyav in maaser beima. On the other hand, if there's a ptur maaser beima, because they actually split the estate, then they now recreated a partnership. A partnership is ptur maaser beima. However, a partnership is certainly chayav in kalabon because it's no longer an estate. That's what we were up to today. Reb Chia quotes Reb Yirmiya with a very interesting question. Mishnah makes it almost an absolute. This is an inverted relationship. But actually, he points out, V'lama litnan amri, that pa'amim shen chayavim b'zeh u'b'zeh, pa'amim shen p'turim m'zeh u'b'zeh. I mean, it's sort of almost coincidental that you made the Mishnah work out this way. You could just have easily pointed out that sometimes achim shutafim are chayav both in a kalabon and in the meiser, and sometimes they're potter both in the kalabon and in the meiser. For instance, what would the case be? Let's say that the chilkuben and chasim below chilkua behima. What we assume is that what we should look at is the status of the various elements of the estate. So assuming that the estate consists of bank accounts, let's say, and the cattle. When I say bank accounts, I mean in any other chattel. So over here, they were cholate the accounts, but they kept the original structure of the estate in terms of the cattle. So then it would turn out that the kalabon would be something that is being paid not from the cattle, but rather from the bank account. So then in that case, they would be chayev in the kalabon. On the other hand, because the cattle is now owned as part of an estate, they would also be chayev in Maaser Behema. So, I mean, you make it sound like it's always going to go. You could do the other way. You could do, if they were chayev like the Behema, but they left all the other accounts untouched. So then the state is still paying the kalabon, therefore the shekel, that's the reporter from the kalabon. But the behemoths are now a shutafut because they made a new shutafut after splitting. So then they would be part of mizah mizah because partnership supported from maaser behema. Omer Rabbi Mana, well, yes, you might theoretically make up a case like that, and then you can ask your question, but you have to take into consideration that how did that Amr b'shloha ta behima rov? Let's say the behima is a rov, so then they become the ikar nechasim. You can't simply say that we're going to look at it as two separate estates, an estate which contains a ranch and an estate which contains other property and money. If l'maisa, most of the value of this estate is in terms of the animals. So then you split the estate. The fact that you haven't gotten every last penny split is not the point. So you'd have to anyway look. You'd have to look at the bottom line. There's nothing magical about the fact that they're behemoths. So if l'maisa, in splitting the behema, you ended up splitting rov and then a chasim, then what we're going to say is because I took it out of the bank account that was still a joint account, therefore the estate is untouched. That's simply not the case. Rivonin, Omer Rabbi Shimi. Bottom line is, we look always at the ikar value of the estate. Rabbi Ba B'Shem Abba Baravuna, he says that actually, it doesn't really matter when we say over here that Achim, Smashbitz Davka Achim, has nothing to do with Achim. It has to do with coming from a single estate. It would make no difference if your two brother-in-laws that are inheriting a father-in-law. The point is, if the estate remains untouched, so then it has exactly the same thing. And it doesn't matter whether they're Achim or not Achim. Lehecha Nayua Kalbonot Dofli. Getting back now to the chiyuv of kalabon, where would we put these kalabon? Now, obviously, according to Rabbi Meir, that's not much of a question, because according to Rabbi Meir, the kalabon is really the shekel. We're only giving the kalabon in order to equal the coin that Moshe Rabbeinu was shown. So Rabbi Meir, Omer Lishkali. Therefore, it says Rabbi Meir, the kalabon is put together with the shkalim in the lishkal. Now, lechora, this is not as simple as it sounds, because according to Rabbi Meir, there's really two completely different types of kalabon. As we saw yesterday, for instance, in the case where you had the return we were asking for money back. There were three kalbanot. One of them only was the kalban that was to make up the value of the shekel. One of them was a standard kalban for the fact that you gave a shekel, and one was for the exchange of the coin, which was a service fee. So, I mean, it's odd that he should say that all of the kalbanot go to the same place, just because there is a kalban, the main kalban, which is given to shekel. Nonetheless, according to Rabbi Meir, what?
They give the
kalbanot
the coin, or what?
Yeah, a ma'a. One more us, 1/24 of the shekel. Rabbi Elazar Omer, it goes to Nidava. Nidava means that there were special kupot, which the money was used for what's known as Kaitz and Mizbeach. Kaitz and Mizbeach was when we don't have other use for the Mizbeach, we gave a Eulas Nidava Mishal Tzivu. That way the Mizbeach was kept easy eating dessert. It didn't have its main attire. It didn't have its main meal was perhaps completed, but Mizbeach has a great attitude. Rabbi Shimon Shezuri Omer, what they used it for was really Berek Abay. They used it for Rikui Zahav and Sipu. So they would use these to make tiles out of solid gold, which were used to cover the Kodesh HaKadosh. Ben Azai Omer. Ben Azai says the Kalbon, remember, was essentially there as the equivalent of the service fee that should have been paid had you checked your coin, right? That's not called Aisaf. No. And it's something that's bottled to the wall is not Aisaf. Aisaf Abinyan means to add another piece of wooden construction. So, anyway, getting back to Benazah. Therefore, says Benazah, if the main point of the Kalabon was to be the equivalent of the service fee, then in fact it should be used to pay the service of the banks. So, because Lamaisa, what you needed to do over here was you had to open up a lot of extra ATMs in order to get these shkolim, and you had these people scattered all over. These were temporary sniffim of the banks. Cost money. Who's going to pay all of that? So we used the kalabon to actually pay for it. And the shulchanim, are you not in matan b'scharan, as part of the collection fee. The yeshomrim, others say that wasn't given to the shulchanim. They made their money otherwise, in other ways anyway. But any other city besides Yerushalayim, you would have to pay a FedEx fee. And actually, it was probably Brinks, because it was a pretty tempting target. It's a lot more expensive than FedEx. No, seriously, it was a whole problem in the upcoming Mishnah. What happens when there's an armed holdup of the Shkalim? Who pays? So. Really? Well, that's beautiful. So they were way late.
If you give a half shekel and it's shakur, you also have to give a kalabon? You don't give a kalabon. You're just giving a half.
According to the Rebbe, you always give a kalabon because of the shakur problem. That's the point. According to the Rabbanan, we don't worry about shakur. We worry about face value because it's not the metal. So for Yeshurim Lohotzaad Rachim, others say that the money of the kalabon was used for transportation costs. So we spread that out. Even though, obviously, in some places there's going to be greater transportation costs. Yerushalayim won't be any transportation. But in other words, the base they provided for transportation. And the way that they paid the transportation was by using the kalabon all over. Hadron Allah, Perek, Be'achar, Be'adar.
Lean Nether.
Mitzarfim shkalim ledarkonot. Now there was a much larger coin than the common shekel, which was the half shekel. Again, remember, the main coin at the time was the sela, which was the four dinner coin, which was the equivalent of the shekel in the time of the Midbar. The machtis shekel was known at that time as the shekel, which was a half a sela, which was two dinner. But there was also a darkon, which was a golden coin, not a silver coin, which was worth four of the shekels, and they were tiny because they were gold. It was a heck of a lot easier to transport small golden darkonot than to go around and transport the actual machtis shekel. So therefore, even though we just talked the whole perek about what to do about the banking costs of changing coin. And if I go ahead now and I pay Hegdish with a golden coin, I'm basically causing a hefset to the gizbar in respect to the shkolim, because if I really expect him to have shkolim, he's going to have to change this coin, and it's going to cost him money to change it. Nonetheless, we allowed the various cities to take all of their matzis ha-shekel and be mitzarev them into the large darkon coin. That is, the large value, yeah. The small darkon coin, which became the word for a passport, exactly because of this. In other words, somebody who's going to be going on the road, needs to be prepared for going on a road, carries a darkon, which is
going to get you through anywhere.
Yeah. The Israeli darkon is definitely the way to go. It's very interesting to see the.
When you go to Turkey, it's like they're going to attack America.
Really?
I think.
So there is a
favorite American visa.
pay for the American citizen, not the Israeli.
Does Darshan exclude the Hamas killer, like after some kind of bank transfer or anything? You can't have like something already pre-deposited.
The Darshan is worth four shekels shalem, or the four shekels that are half
shekel? Shalem. So now, the Gemara is going to ask, I mean, there certainly are ways to concentrate values that is greater than Bar Kol, right? As all of the diamond smugglers are well aware of. Kishem shayu shofrot b'migdash, kach yu shofrot b'medina. Now, they also used to simply have, besides the shulchanot, where if you needed banking services, there were shofrot. Shofrot is simply the name for a box that looks like a shofar. It looks like a shofar in order to prevent people from sticking their sticky fingers down the top of the box, so it's large at the bottom to hold a lot of coins, but it's small at the top, so we call it a shofar. And the same way we had those in the actual Beit HaMikdash, as we've learned and as we'll see later, there were also shofrot in various cities around the country. Suppose they sent off a shipment of shekels from a city, and then they were stolen or they were lost. Now, of course, this depends on whether the company that you send them with are shomrei sof or shomrei chinam, are they being paid or not. If they're being paid, then they're responsible. That's part of the din of a shomrei sachar, that he's chayav on gneiva v'avida. We're going to explore this a little bit in the sugya. Just you should know that the Rambam has a very interesting shita, which holds that if you used a shomer sachar, in other words, a company donated its services for the shkolim, then you, the shipper, that would be shomer chinam, if you, the shomer chinam, then you, the shipper, are responsible for your negligence in taking free services. Because whenever you get something for free, it's dumping. Exactly. So therefore, that's why they're potter from Geneva Vaveda. But if they're potter on Geneva Vaveda, so then you were an idiot to use the ship to Shkolin. Very interesting. Okay, so according to him, we'll have to adjust the sugya in the Gemara. Exactly. Im nitrima hatruma. So now it depends on what the situation is. If in the Beit HaMikdash, during the time that you were shipping, they went ahead and they did the trumat alishka. And you remember that the trumat alishka is that they go in with these three containers and they dump them into, they pick up out of the large amount of shkolim that are in the lishka, and then they use those that they actually picked, they use for the purchase of the korbanos and so on. Once they do that, the kavon at the time of doing that is to be zocha in all of the shkalim, wherever they are, even those that haven't yet arrived. So once that's the case, then if my shkalim were on the way when they did that, it means that Bezdin was already zocha in that shekel, despite the fact that it didn't arrive, because their kavana was to take all of the shkalim, even the ones that are currently en route. And therefore, you're dealing now with the gizbarim. You're not dealing. The people in town are already plotted. The gizbarim got their stuff. Now the only question is, what do we do in respect to those gizbarim? Because now the shipping company has to answer to the gizbarim, not to the shipper. So therefore, in a case where it was already nitrum hatruma, so then the company is nishbarim le gizbarim. Then their business is with the gizbar, because the people that ship will not have to redo their shipment. Now you'll ask, but how could you possibly be nishba le gizbar? The din is you're never nishba le hegdei shav. There's no din of shvuah on hegdei. It's only re'ah. It's never on hegdei. That the Gemara is going to discuss. What exactly is the shvuah? The imlav. If the truma had not as yet been taken, now the people in town are the ones that you have to answer to, because they're going to have to resend their shkalim, recollect shkalim and send them. So imlav, if the truma had not as yet been taken, nishbayin l'vnei ha'ir, u'vnei ha'ir shoklin tachtehir. So then it's your business to handle the problem with b'nei ha'ir, if you're a shomer chinam. You would swear to b'nei ha'ir, or if you're a shomer tzocher, it might be talking about the type of geneva v'aveda, which is karav la'ina. So you have an armed robbery, or you had a ship sink, and they took all your shkolin with it, whatever, but things that are not in your hand. So in that case, this also doesn't make sense, because you shouldn't be nishba l'vnei ha'ir on hegdei shot, even though you're not being nishba to the gizbar. You never nishba on a chefetz of hegdei, unless you hold that a gavra agerim l'momen is k'momen. But since over here, gentlemen, had you not lost my shekel, I wouldn't have had to give another shekel. So therefore, in etzet, forget about the fact that it's hegdei. You're swearing to me, because to me that was worth money, because it saved me other money. That's a whole machlok. Whether that's considered to be the equivalent of money, which is mechayev shvuah or not. So this Mishnah seems to touch on some rather important territory in the dinim and bavam metziah, which we'll examine in the Gemara. The Bnei Ha'ir, in that case, never had their shekel accepted by Hagdish, because they never did the truma, and it never arrived, and therefore they're going to have to recollect Shoklit Tatehet. But what about if Nimtzu, or Shechiz Rumaganavi? Suppose you got it back, after they already collected a new batch of shkalim. What now is the status? Can I apply them to my next year's shkalim? Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Now have it. Now we're going to send them all into the basement. Can we apply it towards our debt next year? Yeah, for a collective replacement. The din is that both of them are shkalim, and you cannot use them l'shana haba. There's no way to pay your shkalim up front for the year to come.
Can you use it for personal use?
No. We'll see what's done with it. The Gemara is going to discuss. As to the Gemara, once we're already going to change our machzis ha-shekel into darkonot, and I mean, why can't we just go ahead and make them into diamonds or something, or pearls, and that way we don't have to worry about the transportation cost. So wouldn't that make more sense? So, yeah, so tamar galiot? No. We will never take cash and turn it into commodities. Because shema tazil amar galiot, we cannot rely on a commodity market. So a coin is marked. The coin's value is set. That's its value. But the question of whether now the price of the diamonds or the pearls are going to go up and down could cause hegdash hefset. And we have no right to invest the money of hegdash. You cannot be podesh shkolim on their way, meaning you can't switch to shkolim to make it easier to transfer. The way you can be paid a hegdash using current value. If you want to be podesh hegdash, you can use other things. Use shavat kesef also. Hello, hello. Come in, come in. If you want to be podesh meiser sheni or so on, it makes no difference what you use. But when it comes to the shkolim, where you're trying to make it easier to transport, you mustn't use shavat kesef. We don't have the years. We shouldn't have the years. Ein pedim bekelim. That's included in the shavat kesef. The armor of Shul Barav Yitzchak. The reason being shemayis lakelim. The reason we don't use shavat kesef is because whatever you turned it into may end up losing money. In which case, that's the meaning of our Mishnah too. Of hachanami shema tazil amar galiot v'nimtza ha-hegdash mafsid. Also. Now, I would assume that the Mishnah, Matnita, betaklin chadit, have a betaklin atik, lobeda. When it says that there were shofarot, there were a lot of shofarot in the Mikdash, and they came for all types of tests for shofarot. Not that bad. They came for all types of purposes. One of them was besides the various other things like the dovice, they had for the kinim of a yoledes and so on, but they also had taklin charetin and taklin atikin. Taklin atikin meant people who owed money from years before. We're not paying up. When it says that they had in the Medina, it doesn't mean that they had taklin atikin in the Medina. And indeed, Tani came there, which says beferish, atikin the mikdash, the ein atikin the Medina. There was no pushka, no shofar for shkalim atikin. That would be just too much of a suggestive thing, wouldn't it? If anybody is coming to give his shekel chadash, sees the other one and says, oh, wait a minute, is that a better idea? Maybe next year. Next year I'll pay up his shekel. It's interesting, the Rambam must have had a very different use than the Gemara, because he has just the opposite. He has the Yubadavka did have takli not to in the Medina. Continues the Mishnah. Masnisa b'shomer china. Avo b'shomer sachar lo b'da. L'chore, the whole Mishnah only makes sense. It's talking about if it was a Gnev or Aveda. I mean, what's nafkamina? A shomer sofer, Gnev of Aveda, he would have to pay. So if it's saying that he should be Nishba, it's got to be talking about a shomer chinam, right? Omer Rabba, no, not right. Afilu temer b'shomer sachar. And again, according to the Rambam, the Mishnah only, really, either would make sense in a shomer sachar, and we'll see what the case would be, because otherwise you were b'shea using a shomer chinam, or the Rambam would learn that if the Mishnah is talking about a shomer chinam, then the last piece that says ubnei ha'ir shoklin tachtehem refers to either case, whether he's nishba or not. They would always have to pay because they were poshim in sending it with a shomer chinam in the first place. What would be the case of a shomer sachar where he would be nishba and not mishalim? Well, the nignavu could mean listemizuyim, an armed holdup. A shomer sachar is not responsible for. That's considered to be the equivalent of an honest. Shomer sachar is only responsible for burglary, but I mean, he's not supposed to risk his life. And the case of avdu. Avdu could mean not a typical avdu, but unavoidable avdu. Plane crash, ship sinks, and that's what they call today acts of God. So, only those cases would be cases we would have to swear. The Mishnah Tavos v'Na Tobayam. Omer Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Simon. What's up, Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Simon? If you're telling me that the issue over here is whether they return the Lishka, then obviously the Mishnah is going according to Mani Yomar, who holds Tormim ala Gavui ve'ala Atid le'Gavot. that when we went ahead and we do the Trumat HaLishkah, we beferish say that we are taking this Truma not only on the coins that are currently here in the Lishkah, but even on coins that are only on the way to the Lishkah, or that are even going to ultimately reach the Lishkah. Therefore, we were Zoche as Hegdish in the coins while they were still in the Brink's truck, before the robbery. But if you are like the Mandi Omar, who says, Bram, Ki Mandi Omar ain't on me, Al HaGavui, Ve'alatid LeGavot. And the Mandi Omar says that the Trumat HaLishkah was only on the Shkalim that were actually present at the time. So then Lobeda, the Mishnah, it would be absurd to make any distinction. As long as your Shkalim didn't reach the Gizbar, they weren't paid. The only thing that made them paid was the fact that Beis Din accepted them as the Rishus of Hegdish. And Beis Gazi Durachamon, as we'll see, is wherever they determine that they want to accept it.
Is this from Hegdish's position that they accepted?
Hegdish's position. It looks like that. In truth, we'll see that it's a machlokas and that it's a lot more complicated, but we're getting up to that. Okay, let's start the Mishnah over and take a look now at what happens. What we're saying is that you have to make a shvuah, right? Now, why are you making a shvuah on hekdeshes when the Torah said beferish that there's no such thing as a shvuah on something that doesn't belong to Reyes? It's got to be, says Rebbe Lazar, it's got to be that the Mishnah is following the Shita of Rebbe Shimon. Rebbe Shimon's Shita is that Kodashim, Shehu Chayav Bachrayutan, Kinechasave. Since over here, if something happens to the shekel before it reaches Hegdish, you're going to have to give that shekel again. So then that means that for all intents and purposes, this shekel is worth straight out its cash value to you. It may not be yours, but who cares? It's the equivalent of yours. Because it's its full value. If anything happens to it, then you're going to have to replace it. So you might as well call it yours. That's Rebbe Shimon Shita. Something which Lamaisa to you represents the full value of what it is to the Hegdish is just as much yours. And if that's the case, you're making a shvuah. Amar Rebbe Yochanan, that's not true. This is not based on that Shita. In fact, Divrei HaKol Hi, and what's happening over here is a takana. It's a shvuat takana. What we're afraid of is that if we follow the halacha min HaTorah, that in a case where a robbery happens to Hegdish, that there's no need for a shvuah, then people will be very makel on the way in which they take care of it. So the Rabbanan were mitakein, that under any circumstances, you cannot be mezalzel and Hegdish treated with less importance than you would treat a dover shachulin. And the memela, they were mitakein and takanat to swear to Hegdish to. Now, al dat Rabbi Yochanan, Necha, the way Rabbi Yochanan understands this Mishnah to be a Shvuat Takanah, it makes a great deal of sense when it says Nishbaim leGizbarim, that you can either be Nishba leGizbarim, Ve'im lav Nishbaim levnei ha'ir, uvnei ha'ir shaklim tachtehen, achirim tachtehen. So that makes a lot of sense. It's Mishum Shvuat Takanah. But according to Rabbi Lazar, why do I swear to the Gizbarim? I understand why I need to swear to the Bnei ha'ir. To the Bnei ha'ir, this is their money. Because it's a davar gam lamamon, and it's as if, since they're going to have to give it again, it's as if it's their own. And we're swearing the ikar hadin. We're not swearing a shvuah takanan. But when it comes to the gizbarim, why are we doing that? So the Rabbi Lazar, I understand that nishba'im livnei ha'ir. Okay, he explained that. He explained that adei the Rabbi Shimon. That's Rabbi Shimon Shita. The bnei ha'ir, it's kachim that they have achrayut on. Kachim that you have achrayut is like it's your money. But the gizbarim, in the case where it was considered to be already accepted in the rishus of Hegdish, now the shvuah is towards the gizbar. I understand. The gizbar doesn't have any personal responsibility for the shkalim. So why am I swearing to the gizbar? The only possible reason I could swear to the Gizbar is to make it a Chumrah of Hegdish. That's all. But that's what Rabbi Yochanan said. So how does Rabbi Lazar's explanation fit the Mishnah Bechlal? Gizbarim Mayavi Detayim. How do they get involved? Though? It's none of their darn business, basically, on a personal level. Gizbarim are the treasurers of Hegdish. They're the ones who keep accounts and so on. They don't have personal responsibility for some Shkolim that came from Timbuktu that haven't arrived. Yes, says the Gemara, indeed, according to Rabbi Elazar, we have a completely different way of understanding the Mishnah. According to Rabbi Elazar, what we have to say it means is that Nishba'in livnei ha'ir b'ma'amad ha'gizborim ke'ech delo lachshedino inam delo lanashu lo poshim. Point over here is that, look, they're going to want, this shliach is going to want to go now and collect his money. Right? Forget about the question of whether he's responsible. Not responsible. Fine. That doesn't mean I don't get paid. I still get paid. The fact that I was held up, you're going to say, you were held up, therefore you don't get paid. So there's still the payment. I'm now going to be Toveya, the Bnei Ayir, for paying me. Great. So then, if that's the case, then I now need to make a shvua that I didn't get this money already. Right? That shvua is being done in the presence of the gizbor. That's the way in the way it's in the Bavli. Here, you don't have to learn that that's what it's referring to. In other words, that when you make a shvua, whenever you'll make a shvua, it would have to be in the presence of the gizbor. Because there's no way for me to remove the chashad from the heart of the gizborim that lamaisa I'm at fault. And for all intents and purposes, the gizborim may go around already spreading the fact that I'm responsible. Because after all, I mean, there's no consequences to me. I simply have to say it was stolen. Ah, come on, man, it's stolen. I swear it was stolen. Well, English boy, not like that. Why would I swear? So the immediate response is, oh, man, what a posheya. Therefore, when we metakein, that wherever there is a need for a shvua to be motzi mamad, or to pat yourself from the bnei ha'ir, in that case, we do the shvua in front of the gizborim so that they shouldn't feel that with impunity I could say what I want about the loss of Hashem. Now, afal pi shekiblu bnei ha'ir l'shalim, even if the bnei ha'ir say, okay, we believe you, it's fine, you can, we'll pay you, no problem. We insist that you swear, that's the meaning of the sin. Because we want an excuse for the gizborim to hear, and ein hegdesh yotzei b'lo shvua. We want it to be that hegdesh simply didn't just, somebody gave an excuse and walks away. Now, how about on a personal level? Here we get to a complication. Suppose somebody was, this is in reference to your question, he frees shiklo, a guy sets aside his shekel, and now his shekel is lost. What's the din? Says Rabbi Yochanan, what do you mean, what's the din? He's chayim b'achrayut, that should be spread out of gizbar. Isn't that the whole point of the Mishnah? That you're responsible to get it to the gizbar? Rish Lakish says the most astonishing thing, that hegdesh b'shut gavola b'chol makom shehu. This is a klal, which is known that as wherever something is, it is Begaza Darachmana. The entire world is God's treasure house. So when you say this is Hegdesh, it's already in the hand of Hegdesh. Which we say in the Bavli is Amirato the Gavoa, Gemisirato Lehedyar. So therefore, says Rish Lakish, based on that halacha, the moment I make this shekel Kedesh, I've essentially given it over into the hand of Kedusha. Now, of course, this now moots the entire Mishnah. It sounds crazy. But according to what Rish Lakish is saying, we might as well throw the whole question out of the window. Because the moment anybody gave this shekel, it was already belonged to Hegdesh. Forget about the transportation. That's Hegdesh's problem, it's not my problem. And yet, what Rish Lakish is saying is certainly the normative way in which we approach the dinim of cash that's given to Hegdesh. Says the Gemara, well, it's wild. Masnisa pligal Rish Lakish, I understand. I mean, how does he read the Mishnah Bechlal? Makes no sense at all. It says, Nishbayim Levnei Ha'ir, Levnei Ha'ir Shoklim Tachteyem. I mean, it says that you got to go and you have to, the whole city has to go ahead now and take out other shkalim. According to what he's saying, there should be no problem at all. It was already gone and arrived. Says Rish Lakish, you know, don't you understand that the whole Mishnah? How did you understand the Shvua in the Mishnah? The Shvua was Shvua's Takana. It wasn't Meikar HaDin. It was the Shvua's Takana. In the same way we make that Takana, that there's a halacha that you need to be Nishba on something you don't really need to be Nishba. And why do we do that? So that people should have a different level of respect for Hegdesh. That's not said under any and all circumstances. It was a particular Takana in respect to a city's gvia and shipment. But if that's the case, it extends across the board. You can't compare an individual's giving a coin tag to the din of the shipment of the city. In the same way that we made a takana of a shvua, we made a takana of a achrayut, obviously for the same reason. Otherwise, what's the point of the takana of the shvua? So the same way that you recognize that the Mishnah is not meant anyway, mi'ikar adin. The Mishnah was clearly all along a takana. The Mishnah is not a kash on me because I'm not talking about a case of shipment. I'm talking about an individual. To give something to Hegdesh. What does that have to do with the Mishnah? Now, in the Braisa, it explains that in a case where you found the money, or where the Ganavim returned the money, so in our Mishnah, it just says both of them go to Shkalim, right? You can't apply it to Shana Haba'a. But the Braisa explains this a little better, because obviously there's a problem. If you're going to give it to Shkalim, so then you're going to be doubling your Shkalim, but it says Ashilo Yarbet. So how can you double your Shkalim? Therefore, explains the Braisa, Harishonim noflim notiklin chadati. Vashniim noflim notiklin atikin. Even though, strangely, this really could be looked at as payment forward on your shkalim. But since it's not, it's looked at as old shkalim. And whenever we'll use old shkalim for, we're not going to include them in additional shekel that you give this year. We'll see later what we use it for. So these new ones, the secondary coins, of course, it's not explaining which one's the secondary one. The secondary ones, the second ones to be collected, or the secondary coins are the second to arrive. That we'll see. But the secondary coins go to Tiklin Atikin. Now, of course, the question is, Eila in Rishonim, Eila in Atshniim. And naturally, we have a machlokes. So we have Reb Pinchas for Rabbi Chanina and Rabbi Abba Mori, who argue. Chad Omar Elo Sheshalchu Bnei Ha'ir Techila. Those are the Rishonim. Achron Omar Elo Sheigiu Lidei Gizborim Techila. Those are the Rishonim. So the question is, what the Rishonim mean? Original, or the Rishonim mean first to arrive?
The actual coin itself, we have to dig out his original coin, the first he gave.
They were returned when you began. The Ganavim returned the coin. We're sending now a new shipment of the coins. These were the original coins. Other coins. They arrived first. So do we say because they arrived first, those are the ones that are meant to be put into the Lishka? Or do we say it's the ones that I had my das on first? Now, if the question is it Nogea where Hegdish is Toface, or is it Nogea the Tfis of my das?
We need his original coin, the one that's already in there with the other coins?
We didn't put it in yet. No.
We didn't put it in yet.
It's a rise, but we didn't put it in.
Does the takana have an effect on the shy?
Of course. Yeah, this is a question of how do we view the nature of that takana. Yeah.
So to speak, that's not hegdish until it's already
correct.
So the Heilige Mishnah halacha base.
Hanoten shiklo l'chaveiro l'shkola yado. This is a great business. Somebody asks you, gives you the coin, he says, hey, you're going up to Yerushalayim, do me a favor, and put in my shekel. And he sure does. Except he says, here's my shekel. Doesn't say, here's his shekel. So he shekels it for himself. Now, on the surface, who cares? I mean, he didn't change the yud of the shekel. God knows who the shekel is for. So in what sense does this really involve a geneva or a me'ila, which is the bigger problem? Now, that we're going to discuss. So if he takes it, well, and mitzvot lav lanot me. What's lav lanot? It is b'kayim a mitzvah.
That's the me'ila. Now he doesn't have to pay the shekel, or so you think.
Well, you're getting close. Then let's wait till we need it. The Gemara puts it slightly differently, because we have to have an actual concrete on the eye. So, and he used it for himself. So now here too, with you pay. Im nitruma hatruma. So then, ma'al, if he had now, that Bezdin went ahead, and they actually used it, and they did the hatruma, so then he's moel, for some reason. That isn't very clear. We saw this difference, in that the moment that you do the truma, at that point, even a shekel that hasn't arrived, is considered to be there. But why would the truma define the moment of truth in terms of me'ila over here? It would appear on the surface that the me'ila consists of the fact that it was this shekel that was used somehow for some other purpose. So now that I took it, what was that other purpose? Hashokel shiklo min ahegdash. Furthermore, suppose somebody had money of hegdash in his rishos. He had set aside, let's say, a coin to be donating to the Beit HaMikdash, and he forgot that it was a hegdash coin. So then, if he uses it for his shekel, and they go ahead and nitruma truma, now here it adds the karva habehima, and they brought from the truma that they were in Torah, they actually used it to buy behemot for the Beit HaMikdash, then ma'al. If he uses money, which was money of Maaser Sheni, or money which he had gotten illicitly through Dmei Shvi'i, or even licitly, but Shvi'is is tough, it's his doma. So now what does he do? The Hegdash is now held in abeyance because there's now the Isser on it, which isn't mine. This is the Kedush is Maaser, the Kedush is Shvi'is. What you do is Yochal Kenegden. You take another coin and you say, the Kedush is Shvi'is, wherever it is, or the Maaser Sheni money, wherever it is put on this coin. Then you use that coin to eat the Kedush is Shvi'is, so that coin to eat your Maaser Sheni. Meanwhile, freeing up the Kedusha on the original coin, which now is used for the Kedusha of the Lishka.
So it doesn't prevent it from working for being shokel, even though it's made like a
shekel. Possibly. That isn't clear. I mean, whether this needs to be done or whether this is done in order. That's the question of whether shekel, when we say that Hegdash takes away Shibudim, cancels other Shibudim, whether that is Nogea this or this is actually more than Tekisha. Okay, now the Mishnah says in the beginning, Tanina, in the last part says over here that in Karvaha Behima. Okay. Does it say that in the Reisha? Does it? It just says in nitruma truma. It doesn't say a word about the karva behima. Tani devei Rebbe. The lashon in the Mishnah itself is in nitruma truma without making any mention of karva behima. So what would be the meaning then of saying nitruma truma alone is sufficient to cause me'ila? Man tana in nitruma truma. That's Rebbe Shimoni. The only Rebbe Shimon miyad ayam mekabel me'otav vakohanim zrizini. He says like this. The din is that when somebody accepts upon himself to be a purveyor to heaven, first of all, it's very, very kedai to be a purveyor of Hegdash because it's great advertising.
You
mean that you're the guy that provides Hegdash's needs. So if you take a look in England, any of the high quality products as purveyor to the queen, right? Which, at Lemaisa, you lose a lot monetarily by getting that advertising because you have to take responsibility for the quality of the goods. If anything happens to it, there's a standing deal, as we'll see later. There's a standing deal with purveyors to Haggadah that they have to replace, even though normally they wouldn't have to replace. But it's worth it for them. Okay, so they become purveyors in Haggadah. Now, the question that is the machlokes of Rabbi Shimon and Chachamim is, at what point were they paid? Did we pay them immediately? Or did we wait until the end of the season to make sure that they made good on all their guarantees? So Rabbi Shimon says they're paid up front. Said, why? Because we're saying on them that nobody's going to want to lose his relationship as a purveyor to head. So you pay them, and there's no need to keep the money hanging over their heads. The money is there. So take the money, give it to them. So I'll leave it to Rabbi Shimon. If we're going according to Rabbi Shimon, the very fact that Nitruma Atruma means it was instantly used. Because anyway, we pay the purveyors. We don't wait until the day in which the carbon is brought to use it. You'll say, well, what's the difference? It was Nitruma Truma. It's still sitting there in the basket. It's not sitting there in the basket. We pay up front. So according to Rabbi Shimon, I don't need to say the words Karva Beima. Take it for granted. Karva Beima. What about over here? Tumiyad Ayamekabil Mota. But what about the case of the replacing my shekel for his shekel? What does that have to do with anything? Let me ask you something. Suppose I stole somebody else's carbon oil, okay? Walk into his house, take away his carbon oil, come into the Beit HaMikdash, I shef the oil, and I give it to the Kayin, and I don't say a word. Did I do something? Did I change anything? You're saying, well, I mean, the other guy could have shefted his own oil. Okay, fine. Okay, what would a guy pay to sheft his own oil? $3. I was mafsa and $3. I'll give him the $3. What does it have to do with it? It certainly wasn't my oil. I didn't change anything. It was an oil. It was meant to be brought. It was brought. Nobody made a shinui violin. Nobody made any. I took a shekel and I put it into the pushkin. So I'm saying, it's my shekel. Who cares what you say? It's like saying, okay, here's my oil. Who cares? It wasn't the avodah. It wasn't done for any other purpose. So what's the nafkamina? If he was shocked or stung? It's a stum alola shein balam arishonim mechaperes. Every shekel is for all intents and purposes stum. What it is that you're saying when you drop it into the pushkin is meaningless. How in the world could you possibly be considered in this case to be male? Omer Rabbi Yudin, says Rabbi Yudin, you're right. That would be a normal case. However, there were strange cases. Maybe this is one of the strange cases. Tipater b'misuyam. We could be talking about somebody who had donated a special shekel. For instance, we know that people that had influence, so Michel Beit Rabbi Gamliel, let's say you had people in Rabbi Gamliel's household who would accompany the Kohen at the time of the Trumas HaLishka, throw in their shekel right on top to make sure that the Trumas HaLishka was done dafka from their shekel. So they would go ahead, and the dofo letocha kupa, they would sort of push it in to make sure that it got into the kupa that they were taking out. So memela, in that case, you really made it your own. Maybe that's what it's talking about. Okay, so why do we have to be chayish? Shemel shirayim enoflim. First of all, I understand, who's to say bichlal that these coins, you're telling me, if the coin was used already for the, how do you know that this coin anyway was used? You made a whole big deal over it. Well, according to Rabbi Shimon, we took the money, we paid it up, and you took the money. You took 1% of the money. You went ahead and you took 3 kupas out of a whole room full of coins, and you're saying now, and since we used the money right away, so now we already were mayo. Understand, who's to say that his coin bichlal was in that kupa that you were talking about? Why don't we say it was in the Shirayim? How can it be mail on Shirayim when we don't use the Shirayim for anything yet? It's the Shirayim. Chashul Hashem Shirayim v'chiyesh mi'ila b'Shirayim. It could be, maybe, like Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says mail on b'Shirayim. But I still have my other question. Where's the Shinui? I could say that maybe it's talking about min misuyam in the Shirayim, like Beit Rabbi Gamliel, Shirayim mitkavim v'tormu l'shmo. Forget about the fact that the coin, the original pshat was that Beit Rabbi Gamliel, they actually were misdaris to see that this particular coin was used to purchase the korbanos. In the Shirayim, of course, that's ridiculous, because if it's in the Shirayim, then it wasn't used. But nonetheless, if somebody could actually put it into the Lishka, Bedavka in his own name, and didn't drop it into the Pushkistan. So maybe that's what it's talking about, even if it's in Shirayim. Maybe that was the case. But then, manene. So what was the hanod? You're saying there's a me'ila. Me'ila is only when you get the benefit out of it. Where's the benefit? You can't say, you want to say it with a shinui, but there was no hanod. If there's no hanod, there's no me'ila by definition. It certainly can't be the fact that I was tearing my shekel. That's a mitzvah. So first of all, I mean, I can't steal the money and make a mitzvah. But I mean, even if I could, mitzvah, blah, blah, and not doing, that's not called a hanot to be mechayim in the ila. Omer Rabbi Yovin b'shem Rabbanan de Taman. What it's talking about is mikivan shebet din ruin lamashkin velo mishkin. No, that's a hanot. If you can pay off somebody not to take away your TV, so then that's certainly a hanot. Since over here they were going to come in and take away your kalim in order to pay for your shekel, forget about the question of whether the mitzvah itself is lanas. But certainly there's value in paying up someone not to collect from your house. Isn't that straight out value? So if that's the case, it's considered to be a hana'a. And that is me'ila. Mi ma'aser sheni. And why exactly can ma'aser sheni not become hegdesh? That the Mishnah is mashma, it's essential that I first pay the ma'aser sheni on another coin. What exactly would be the problem? Dichtiv. Ach b'chor asher yivukar la'ashem ba'beima lo yakdish oto. From which we learn, kol shu'hu kedesh. Anything which already has a level of kedusha on it, ein kedusha chala alav. You cannot have another kedusha be chal on a coin which has a kedusha. This already has kedusha's maisa. So that we learn out from Bechor. Say, I had already a kedusha of Bechor. You cannot now go ahead and make it into another type of carbon. Same too, you have a coin that has kedusha's maisa. You can't make it into another level of kedusha. So Ketzaruah said, May the sela shochulin, the omer ma'ot ma'aser sheni b'chol makom sheni. Look, I don't know where my coin is. Somewhere. I had a coin of ma'aser sheni which I put into the pushka. Wherever that kedusha is, yom mechalalin, mechulalin, al selah zeh. At that point, the new selah, o ta selah nitvas l'shem ma'aser sheni. So now the new selah becomes your ma'aser sheni coin. V'ashar, the old selah, becomes now your shekel. Nasu shkali. This would be exactly what I would do with the kedusha of shvias, which is also teifas estomol. Rabbi Yom Rabbi Yirmiya, boy, v'lama let nan amrim panim shen chayavim b'zeo b'zeo, v'panim shen turim b'zeo b'zeo. Meaning what? Chilko anachasim, v'lo chilko b'ema. So then chayavim b'zeo b'zeo. Chilko b'ema v'lo chilko anachasim. So then turim b'zeo b'zeo. Om Rabbi Yimana, but your case is a crazy case. How did that Amar anyway? Is b'shlo ayta b'ema rov? In b'ayta b'ema rov, ain hikar nachasim? Which means you're always going to have to analyze that. Rebavin Om Reb Shimi, boy, be pesha sitan ki adam echad etzem maaser beima ad potro min hakalbon. Omer lei lo shani, yishu noten tzela echad shleima. So me ata filu choku vechazu v'nishtatfu chayavim b'maaser beima uptur min hakalbon. And that's not true. Tanina and the Mishnah defers otherwise. Chayavim b'kalbon upturim min maaser beima. Rabbi Baba Shem Abba Bar Rav Huna, he, Shnei Achim, Shiyoshua Davihen, is exactly the same case as he, Shnei Gisim, Shiyoshua Tchamihen. Laichan Ayu HaKavanot Nofli, Rabbi Meir Amer Lishkalim, Rabbi Lazar Amer Linedava, Rabbi Shimon Shazuri Amer Rikwe Zahab, Tzipui, Lebet Kodesh HaKadashim, Ben Azi Amer Shulchanim, Hayu Notim Atam Mescharam, V'yesh Amim Lahotzaat Rachim. Mitzarfim shkalim ledarchonot mipnei masui haderach kishem shayu shofrot b'migdash kach hayu shofrot b'medina b'nei ha'ir sheshafkut shikleihem v'lignivu ha'shavdu im nitruma ha'truma nishbaim legizbarim v'im lav nishbaim lebnei ha'ir u'bnei ha'ir shakuin tachtehem nimtzu o shechzeru ma'ganavim elu ve'elu shkalim ve'en olim lehem b'shana ba'a. Why darchonot? Why not yasot or margoliot? Because kamadati shematazil ונמצא הקדש מפסיד. כאילו תנין התאמן, וכולה נפתן מכסף ובשווה כסף, חוץ משקלים, ואומר שרובה ביצוק, וואי, שמה יזילו הכלים, נמצא הקדש מפסיד. In which case, of hachanami, shema yazila margaliot, ונמצא הקדש מפסיד. The Mishnah is talking about the kupot for taklin chadatin, אבל תקלין עתיקין, לא בדע, ותניקין, עתיקין only in the מקדש, but אין עתיקין במדינה. מתניתין must be referring to a שומר חינה, אבל בשומר שכר, לא בדע, because why would he swear? He'd have to pay. אומר רבא, no, אפילו תאמר שומר שכר. Nignivu may be referring to a case of listi mezuyan, which is the equivalent of an honest to him. Avdu could be referring b'mi, it should say b'mi shetova svinato b'yam. Om Rav Yisti Barabi Simon. Of course, this is going command the Omar that when they do the Trumat Alishka, they say that it's for the Gavui and also on the Atid B'Gavot. But according to the Ma'an Yomer, that Ein Tor B'Mala Gavoy V'la Atid B'Gavot, the Mishnah doesn't make any sense. Lo B'da, because Ekish never was to fix these coins. B'Neyan. No, this is basically an extension of Resh Lakish's idea. That Bethesda really could always have. It's not a Din Breyer. B'Neyan Yir, Sheshofrit Shikleihem, and that's Zephiyah. It's not really a coin. It's a Zephiyah to those people. Omer Evelos, you were referring to the one Atid B'Gavot, and I was responding originally to the Gavoy. The second response was to the Atid B'Gavot. Omer Evelos, Rabbi Shimon, the Rabbi Shimon, Omer Kotchim, Shulchayav Bakayotam, Hinechazavi. Omer Evelos, not true, it's Divri HaKoli. And the whole thing is Yishuas Takana. In fact, Adas Rabbi Yochanan make works out much better. Because Necha Nishboim Legizborim, Vimlav Nishboim Neyair, and the Meneyah Shokmin Achem Takhtein. That's all because of the same reason, Shvat Takana. But according to Rabbi Elazar, okay, I understand Nishbayel of Neayir, that's Rabbi Shimon. But Nishbayel of Gizborim? The Gizborim don't have any personal responsibility. So why are we swearing to them? Maya Vidatayim? No, it means, according to him, Nishbayel of Neayir be Ma'amad Gizborim. Yet, Lolov Shadino, Inami Lolo Nishavi Lolo Poshim. And therefore, Afa Pishakiblu Neayir Lishalim, and they're not interested in Ashua. We insist that he makes a shvuah for this purpose. Because in a hegdish, you'd say below shvuah. How about an individual that was ma'afishiklo vavad, Rabbi Yochanan, obviously, chayav v'akrayot, etchim s'rena l'gizbar? Whereas Rish Lakish says, no. Hegdish b'rishuz ha'gavoah b'chom ha'kom shahu. Isn't the Mishnah beferish the opposite of Rav Shimon ben Lakish? It says, Nishbani v'nei ha'ir, v'nei ha'yishaklin tachtayim. Says Rish Lakish, come on, you know already, lo odi, mishum shva takana. So the whole thing is a takana. Tani, arishonim naflu the takvin chadatin, vashnim naflu the tikvin atiki. Elo ein arishonim, elo ein ashniim. So my focus between Rav Pinchas per Rabbi Chanina and Rav Abba Mori, chad amar elo sheshalchu b'nei ha'ir tchila, are the rishonim, v'achrona amar elo sheshigili de gizborim tchila, are the rishonim. Hanotem shiklo v'chaviro lishkola yado v'shaklo ha'yedei atzmo, in itruma ha'truma ma'al, ha'shokyo shiklo min ha'egdesh, min itruma ha'truma v'karva ha'behima ma'al, mima'aser sheni u'mimei shvi'it, Yochal Kenegdan, in order that the Shvuah, the Shekel should be Chal. So, Anat Tanina im Korvaha Beima. Whereas Tanadevei Rebbe, just im Nitruma Truma, without Korvaha Beima. Mantana im Nitruma Truma, that must be Rabbi Shimon. Because Rabbi Shimon says the moment that Nitruma Truma, Miyad Ayamika Belma Otav the Purveyor. Lakoanim Zrizine, to make sure that that's done. And so there's no time in between. So let me ask you, Kashi, Ilo Agoni Volatosha Chaviro, Vishokto Stop. Stop a lovely shame, Malam Rishonim Echaperez. What's the difference that you stole it? Omre Yudin, Tipater Bemisuya. For instance, Mishal Beit Rabbi Gamliel, Shoya Mitkavein Vedoch Volatocha Kupa. Yeah, okay, but I mean, Kashlama Shemla Shirayim, I mean, Bechiesh Mila Bishirayim. Yeah. Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Meir says, "Mama Bishurayim." Okay, but still, what about the other problem? It's stoma. No, even Rabbi Meir also could be talking about Mesuyah. Shabbat Rabbi Amliel, I'm at Kavim, the Torah Lishma.